1 year, that's all you've got. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. 1 year is all you have. Now, when a baby is born in its original purity and integrity. In its original purity and integrity. A baby is born absolutely fantastic. It has an immune system that has no work to do at all, because it just is, and it does not attract anything, and it does not detract anything. It just is. Its immune system maintains itself in perfect, you might call it its innocence, you know, its original purity and integrity. And little children don't usually, are not bothered by things. Maybe, what did Art say last night? They might be bothered by viruses, or not viruses, but allergies.
Yeah.
By allergies, but nothing else. Now, why they should be bothered by allergies, who knows that? But we are born with our original purity and integrity. This is just another indication of that. Art's sister works as a nurse in the preemie ward of the hospital, and she experiences this and studies this and learns all about preemies and how they are functioning and how they are just so wonderfully immune to everything that you can just imagine, and that this is what our bodies are. Now, Art pointed out that as we get older, as we pass the one-year mark, then we begin to take on what the society and the world tells us. When the world tells us that we are sick, or when the world tells us there's something going around and that everybody gets a flu or the cold, you know, and the newspapers and the television and all these media play up these things in such a big way that people pay attention to it. Now, he pointed out that he is doing work near an airbase in California, and the town is an airbase town. It's maybe about 6 blocks long and has, but how many barbers did he say? It has about 20 barber shops, and it has 20 bars, and it has 20 convenience stores, you know. But it's just dedicated to the servicemen who are on leave and want to do something, you know, get off the base. Well, he pointed out that when you are living in a motel next to a base, that on payday, and people know when payday is, people come to your door at the hotel and knock on the door and want to offer you their services. And if you are so naive as to let them in, that's very foolish. But more so, if you are past 1 year old, then you are always interested in, I'll try anything. I'll do anything. I'll go anywhere. I'll read anything. I'll watch any television. I'll see any type of show. And whether it's beneficial for me or not, I'll do that. And of course, what we're doing is we're destroying our immune system. Now you say, destroying our immune system because we watch television and watch negative movies and because we eat negative foods and because we do things that are not beneficial to us? That's right. Our immune system, as at birth, is bathed in a fluid of purity and goodness, original purity and integrity. And that fluid is with us throughout life. But what we have done is to cover it up. It's still in us. It's still very much in us. But we cover it up. And we cover it up with simple statements like, I can't, and I don't know how, I'm sick, I'm poor, you know, I'm unhappy. Now, we cover it up with those simple statements, and so it is covered up. It's still there. It's still very much in us. We cannot get rid of it. It's our nature. It's our reality. But we are playing the game of pretend human beings. We're not really human beings. We're divine beings. But we play the game. So now, as we play this game, we are taking away our awareness of our original purity and integrity. Now, every time we say, I can't, and every time we say we limit ourselves, we're covering it up. Now, for years and years, I've been teaching that you have within you a diamond, which is your original purity and integrity. And I suggest that you polish it. And how do you polish it? By telling yourself what your original purity and integrity is all about. My original purity and integrity is I'm whole and perfect. I'm wonderful. I'm beautiful. I'm fantastic. I'm happy. I'm rich. I'm abundant in every beautiful way. I'm surrounded by glorious people. See, that is our reality. That is our reality, but we've been pretending that it isn't. Now, you say, well, what about the queen? Now, the queen is surrounded by people who are saying nice things to her and who are doing nice things to her, and yet behind her back, they're saying bad things. Where'd you go to school? Where'd you go to school? What makes you think behind the queen's back, people are saying bad things? Have you heard it? Have you read it? Have you said it? What makes you think they're doing that? What makes you think you're doing the... It's some dumb movies that you watch. Some movies where the intrigue of the court trying to get the queen to do things or to be things or to get out of office, so to speak. And that's all nonsense. If the queen were to worry herself about those sort of things, she would never be the queen. If you are to worry yourself about being sick, unhappy, and poor, you'll never be rich, joyful, and filled with every good thing. You can't, because you cannot have a dualistic life. You either are aware of your divinity, aware of your original purity and integrity, or you are not. And if you are not, you don't enjoy it. And if you are, you enjoy it. Now, babies are born, as Art was telling us, until the age of 1 year, and they are immune to the world about them. They're immune to all of the nonsense. People can come up and say, oh, you look just like your father. And the kid in his heart is saying, oh, he's my father? He does look like me. You know? He does look like me. I don't look like him. He looks like me. And this is my thumb. You know? I'm going to suck on my thumb. This is my world. Everywhere I look, I see... But I am. I see happy people. I see joyful people. I see people serving me. You know, I don't even have to change my pants. Somebody comes along and changes my diapers for me, you know. And wow, have I got it made, you know. And some kids try to keep that up until they're 1, 2, 3 years old, you know. And they get away with it sometimes because the parents like to have somebody that needs them. Now, the little kids don't care. But... as he said, the cutoff seems to be 1 year. And at that time, the kid begins to take interest in the world about him as an outside objective thing, not an inside subjective thing. And because he's looking at the world as an outside objective thing, there's not anything he can do about it. It's just there. It's just there. He cannot change it. He cannot add to it. He cannot do it. It's just there. He lives in that world. And we don't live in the world. We live in our consciousness. Now, what kind of world do you want? Do you want a happy world? Mm-hmm. Then get a smile on your face. And if you got a smile on your face, you got a happy world, right? Okay. Now, if you got a frown on your face, everybody says, oh, they're unhappy about something. What you're unhappy about? I'm so sorry for you. And they don't even know what you're unhappy about. Well, I dropped my pencil. You dropped your pencil and you look like the last rose of summer. My goodness sakes, you know. What is that? Well, I never have any bad things happen to me like the rest of you people, so I was trying to see how it would feel to have some. Well, don't bother. Don't bother. You just keep that smile on your face. Everybody loves a lover. Everybody loves people who smile. Everybody loves people who are dynamic and happy and forceful. At the INTA conference, this Congress this last week, I was very happy. And I was going around hugging and talking to people and sharing with people, not overtly, just pleasantly. And people would be there and they'd come up and they'd say, I read your book. Oh, it's so good. Oh, yes. People just kept coming to me and telling us how good our books are. And I thought to myself, wonderful, wonderful. I said, have you? And they said, what one should I read now? And I said, well, just buy them all and then read them in order, you know. And so they said, well, really, which one? I said, well, let's look at the book table. So we looked at the book table, and I pointed out, I said, this is the progression many people take in reading the books, you know. And they said, wow, yes. And then different people came up and say, well, I like your explosion. When you get up on the pulpit there and you speak, you know, and you take the microphone and you dance around on stage, you are full of life and vinegar and vim and all that good stuff. And all of these young people up there, getting up there, they hold on to the pulpit as though they're going to fall over if they don't, you know. But you're full of life and you're full of joy. And in a 20-minute period, I gave 20 lectures, you know. Mm-hmm. And each one was poignant. Each one was very powerful. Each one was very significant. Because I live in my original purity and integrity. And people say, well, how can you handle this, you know? And then they say, George Bush is a terrible president. George Bush is bringing us into war and war and war. And then I said, no. George Bush is our ambassador of peace. George Bush is one of the greatest presidents that ever lived, and he'll be remembered as the president of peace. Now, it's up to you, who elected him to office, to start supporting him, saying, yes, we have a good president. Yes, he is looking. Do you want to be wealthy? What do you say? I'm wealthy. Do you want to have a good president who leads the country into peace? Then say, we have a good president who leads the country into peace. All life, all the world is mental. That's why at the age of one, children move away from their original purity and integrity because they're moving into the normal mental world and it's unhappy. I had the privilege of being with some Amish people and I had never experienced them close up, and I've always sort of thought, gee, they live in such primitive ways, you know. Well, they do not confront themselves with newspapers or with television. They don't confront themselves with the radio. They don't confront themselves with what's going on in the world. They live their life so beautiful, so pure. And you look at those kids and their complexion is so magnificent. Then you look at their mom and dad. And you look at their grandma. I looked at the one grandmother and I thought to myself, I wouldn't know what age she has. Except that she has gray hair. I wouldn't know what age she had. Her complexion was just as pure as, you say, a peach or a baby's bottom. You know, just fantastic. And her speech, her language, the language of these young kids, oh, they were kidding around. You know, they were pushing each other and doing things that kids do with each other. But not one mean word came out of their mouth in all the time that I was with them. And not one bad word came out of their mouth. Not one negative word. I mean, what an honor it was for me to be in their presence. They were marvelous. And my niece, her husband is a benefactor of the Amish people, and so he was doing some things with them, and he invited me to go with him to meet these people. And as I met these people, I could see they live in the consciousness of peace. They live in the consciousness of purity. And they have lots of money. They have a beautiful farm. They have beautiful farms. They own a good portion of the land in the area of Dover that I was in, and in Delaware, and that is in Maryland. And it was just fantastic. Wilmington, Delaware. In Delaware, yeah. And it was fantastic. The things that they did. And yet, very unassuming, very loving, very fantastic. And they don't have any motor-driven vehicles, and the boys were raising miniature horses as a hobby, you know. And the kids were all really nice to one another, from what I could see. Of course, who knows what's behind doors, but mm-hmm. I would presume that what's without is what's within. Mm-hmm. And I was just very proud to be aware of their activity. Yes, 1 year. 1 year. Now, we have a great problem. We have added many years to our life since our first year. But the problem can end right now by saying one thing. I live in the now. I live in the now. And so then there is no past, there is no future, there is no present, there's only now. And right now, I am whole and perfect. Right now, I am abundant. Right now, I am happy. Right now, I am the most joyful being in the entire world. I think everything is great and beautiful and good, and so it is. But I must proclaim that, because if I am to return to the awareness of my original purity and integrity, I must be my original purity and integrity. I must be that in my thought, in my word, in my deed. And when I am, the whole thing falls right into place. And that's all it takes. And if you're going to live in the past, if you're going to remember your mommies and daddies, and you're going to remember your predecessors, and you're going to remember your teachers from all the schools that you've been in, you're going to read all these history books and know all that stuff, well, then that's where you're going to live. And that's what you're going to experience. But if you live in the now, being so excited about what's going on right now, then life is great. Last night, two Indians were in the embassy, and they were singing up their war whoops and dancing and playing in the embassy in the swimmix. And they had the swimmix turned all the way up to number 10, 10 miles an hour. The water was rushing through the food, and they were dashing in there and jumping in there and splattering around. They made a mess out of the whole swimmix room. And did it bother them? They didn't make a mess. They just had fun. Yes, they just had a fun. And I'm going to show you the YouTube of how the floor got wet of these people's swimming pool when they weren't at home. Right in the now.
Okay.
Have a lovely day, and know that I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.